moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayam Bhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. Go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, welcome to the Far East Travels Podcast. This is John Sabo. Thank you, and I really want to thank all those loyal listeners that have been patient and waiting for me to come back on here. It's been a little while since I've done the podcast. And there's various reasons why. Maybe I'll get into it later. But I'm in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. This is the longest time I've spent in any one place in maybe 10 or 12 years. I don't know. It's been a long time. I've just renewed my passport again, or my visa, for another 3 months. So I'm here until further notice. And I'll have a roundup in this episode on basically what's happening in East Asia, Southeast Asia, as far as travel plans go, because I'm still getting a lot of people contacting me because they'll hear something about travels opening up for October or November or September, and pretty much most of all of that you're hearing is either a rumor or it's just miscommunication. So I'll get into kind of all of what's going on and who can come into some of these countries right now and who isn't allowed as of yet. So that's going to be in this episode. So thank you so much. It's great to be back. So I've also invited my Twitter and Periscope listeners to join in the conversation. They are watching this broadcast live. So if you are watching on Periscope or Twitter and you have some questions about travel here or just what's happening overall in the region, feel free to chime in and join in on the conversation. So we've had a resurgence in Vietnam of the COVID-19 virus. And The resurgence started July 25th in the central coastal city of Da Nang, and up until today, there's been about 350 cases just coming from Da Nang, specifically three different hospitals where a lot of those community cases originated from. Before July 25th, there hadn't been a community case in Vietnam in 99 days, but there seems to be resurgence of COVID-19 happening throughout the world in places particularly that had a really good handle on the pandemic, like, for example, Vietnam, New Zealand, you know, most of Australia, even Korea. Now Korea is starting to show a resurgence again. So here we are. And, seems like we're still far away from it. And it seems like the scientists and the epidemiologists were correct in saying that there were going to be resurgences, or at least another resurgence of this, that it would come up again. And it appears to be doing that right now. So I because this is a travel podcast and not a science podcast or a podcast about, necessarily international news, I want to just mostly talk about how it affects people that would listen to this podcast for travel information or inspiration or whatever. Hello, Texas. So yeah, if you're watching live on Periscope or Twitter, the live broadcast of this, absolutely pop in, say hi. Hello. Hi, Utah. Let me know where you're watching from as well. And if you have any questions about what's going on. So, I mean, I have this channel, I have Facebook, I have the podcast and my YouTube channel, John Sabo. Thank you for the super hearts, by the way, on Periscope. Thanks. Hey, Canada. And I got lots of friends saying hi. Hello. Hi. If I miss your name, I'm definitely saying hi to you and thinking about you. So, and the YouTube channel. So what I was trying to get at was I'm getting lots of people coming in periodically asking me, when is travel going to open up? Or they heard it was going to open up this time of the year. I really don't know. Nobody really knows. And a lot of the information that you're seeing is actually maybe slightly miscommunicated. So if you see something or somebody you hear that Malaysia is opening back up to tourism, it's not really the case. They are opening up to perhaps medical tourism. So Thailand and Malaysia were going to first start opening up to medical tourism. And then in that case, if you were going there for some kind of operation or whatever kind of treatment you were getting, you would be quarantined the whole time you were there. So that because it's a not bad chunk of business for those countries, that's the first place that they were going to open up. So nobody really is opening up to tourists yet. And I would suspect it's going to be probably a long time before that happens. The countries that are going to have the most pressure on them to open up to tourism are the ones that have a fair amount of their yearly GDP coming from the tourism sector. So where I am in Vietnam right now, it's a small percentage compared to many other countries. GDP for tourism is about 6-7% approximately in Vietnam. So it's not as big a chunk of GDP as, say, a place like Thailand or Nepal, where they are starving for tourism. And perhaps even Cambodia, for that matter, as well. So for a country like Vietnam, it's more important to protect all those other sectors, like specifically manufacturing. So if they sacrifice international tourism to keep all of their plants operating, factories, whatever, there's a factory that's not very far away from me that employs 70,000 people. It's much more prudent for them to do that than to open up and risk, you know, spreading the virus again. So places that don't rely on tourism much but are still popular with, you know, particularly people that listen to this podcast, it may be a while before those places open up. Now, the latest thing I saw, somebody had reported, was that Nepal was considering opening again September the 1st. But I think they've put that off again. Now, Nepal, I mean, it's an amazing place. I've been there 8 or 9 times in the last 10 years. The Himalaya, the culture, and they rely on tourism. 20% of their GDP is based on tourism. So for a place like Nepal, of course, I'll leave the replay of this. Thanks. For a place like Nepal, it's really critical to get tourism going again. But there is a huge risk, of course, in doing that. So what you're probably going to see, what I'm starting to see, is countries that really start to, you know, open up the faucet for tourism, there's going to be lots of really strict conditions. So you'll have to probably get a COVID test within 72 hours of your flight. When you arrive, you will probably have to have another COVID test and go into quarantine until your test turns out negative. Of course, if it turns out positive, then you're going to be stuck in quarantine in that country, wherever it is. So your travel plans will be pretty messed up. So do I recommend travel right now or tourism, even if you can go? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think it's really, there's just too many risks right now. But there are countries that are opening up, places in the Caribbean. Some of those places are just opening up their resorts. So you really would be just restricted to the resort that you'd be staying in. So you could do a resort vacation if you're really dying to do a vacation. I personally think you're probably better off just staying at home for now, even though I see, you know, all these people suffering in the tourism business. There's just too many risks right now in traveling to these countries. And not only that, everything else is so uncontrolled. So if there's a resurgence again somewhere else and it happens in the place where you have to reconnect or connect a flight, like in Hong Kong or Taipei or Tokyo, and all of a sudden they restrict travelers there, then you're going to be stuck wherever you are. So there's a big risk in traveling right now. So even if you do want to go do Everest Base Camp this fall, which, I mean, I think it would be great, there's lots of risks in, you know, how you're going to get there and then how you're going to get back. But it's quite possible that that could happen. And you're seeing resurgences happening in all these major cities now. Hong Kong just opened up to transiting from China. So if you're coming from China now, you can transit through Hong Kong. Now, up until a few weeks ago, Hong Kong was letting people even coming from, say, Vietnam to transit through, but only for 8 hours. So if you were in the airport, if your layover was longer than 8 hours, then you would not be allowed to transit through. So there's all of those things that you have to keep in mind as well. So you've got, like, you could be relying on three or four different countries to make your trip happen. You know, think about connections, layovers, and things like that. So it's highly risky to do a trip right now, unless you don't care if you get stuck somewhere for a while, which is quite possible. So that is the problem with some of these countries. So if you see a country like Nepal opening up, maybe that's okay if you live in India, you know, and there's options for you to get back home. For instance, if flights were canceled, you know, there's still a possibility of traveling by land to get back home. But, you know, any of these other places, I mean, it's going to be very, very challenging right now. Now, a lot of people talking about Cambodia. Cambodia is not open to regular tourists. You will not be allowed to go as a tourist to Cambodia. They are not issuing tourist visas. Most countries are not issuing tourist visas right now in Southeast Asia or East Asia. So if you're coming in here, it's because you either hold up a passport for that country, you have a work permit for that country, and a job in that country. That's probably the only way you're getting into any of these places right now. So that said, there is lots of pressure for them, but you have to keep in mind. So if you're in the region, if you're in Southeast Asia, and you really are dying to go to Thailand, you need to go back. Maybe you have a relationship there or whatever, and you want to go for a visit and they open things up. You know, if you have a way to travel, if there's lots of options for you to get in and out of the country, then it's okay. But if you're coming from a far away place, then it's highly risky. So I don't think we're going to be doing any of this type of travel till probably next year. That's the reality of it. Unless we have more reliable, quick COVID testing and more readily available, cheap drugs that can keep people out of the ICU. That's about it. Hi. So let me know where you're listening from, and join in on the questions or the conversation. I really appreciate that. So this is the lay of the land right now, and it's probably not going to change anytime soon. And I really feel for those people that, you know, that are used to coming to these places maybe once a year for 5 or 6 months. There's lots of people in the UK that love to go to Thailand, or they come to Vietnam, and they have relationships here. They have friends, or you know, girlfriend, or, you know, partner, you know, and they're missing out on all that. I totally appreciate that, but really, it's just not the time to travel right now. There's just too much risk involved. So we'll see how things go. I don't know what else I can tell you. I would really dig in if you hear something that says that travel's opening up again. I would be very skeptical on it. I don't know where all this information comes from. Sometimes it's just hearsay, or you hear this from a friend or somebody that says, yeah, they're going to open up Thailand again. And then you find out it's, you know, they're only opening up for business people. And that really is the within Southeast East Asia and East Asia, and, you know, perhaps South Asia as well. That's really the most important thing right now, is to, you know, keep business moving. So the business people that need to come, there's people like, say, for instance, you're talking about Vietnam. There's a lot of Korean companies that have investments here in Vietnam, and those people need to come and visit and oversee their businesses. Some of them work half and half as well. So they might work or have a business based out of Korea, but they come here. Same thing with Japan. So there's priority countries right now that have access, but it's strictly for people of highly skilled sectors or investors. And that's really the only travel that we're seeing right now. Same thing with Singapore, had a green lane for China as well, but it's really just for business people. So myself, yeah, I'll give you a little bit of, you know, my take on it, personal take on it. I probably would have been traveling more had this whole COVID thing not broke out. I was in Cambodia for 2 months, and I came back to Ho Chi Minh in February. And then everything started escalating towards the end of February and then into March. And then it was very clear that it was just not a good time to go anywhere else. So I have been here, and I will be here until further notice. And I thought at one point that I was going to do a little bit more travel, even just within southern Vietnam. And I always kind of hesitated a little bit about it, and I don't know why. And it was just a feeling that, you know, things are still unpredictable and we don't know what's going to happen. So I really stayed put. One of the places that I probably would have gone to would have been Da Nang or Quan Am province, which is where Hoi An is. And that sort of central region, probably I would have gone there, which would have been, could have been a disaster, or perhaps Hanoi as well. So there's more cases, community cases happening up in those areas right now in Vietnam. Southern Vietnam, not so much. But personally, I find lots of content and things I can talk about within this area, and I'll probably just stay put here until further notice, because we just really don't know enough about this virus, and it's, you know, clearly doing things that some of the scientists thought was going to happen, but as the general population, we weren't expecting probably for these outbreaks or resurgences to happen. So it's going to be, I think, some time before international travel is going to be taking place for anybody. And if there is the possibility of travel opening up for you, I would, if you really insist on going, I'm renting an apartment right now, at least an apartment here, serviced apartment. If you really are intent on going, I would go to a place that is a direct flight. And I wouldn't, as soon as you start adding in layovers and things like that, that's where it could be really problematic for you if you got stuck somewhere. So if you really have the intention to go somewhere, if you're in the United States and you want to go to the Caribbean or something like that, and you have a direct flight there and back, I still think it's risky. But if you really want to go, Iceland was going to open up in August too. I'm not sure where they're at. I think I've gained weight, actually. I think I've gained weight. Somebody's asking me, because they're watching this live on Periscope, have you lost weight? No, I think I've actually gained weight, but I don't know when the last time you saw me was. I think I've gained a little bit of weight here. It's really easy to do that. Is the same apartment, or do you adjust? No, I'm staying in the same place. Price of airfare it's really risky if you went somewhere and then your flight was canceled and then you had to rebook something. It could be extremely expensive. I have a serviced apartment here. So serviced apartment here in Vietnam, it's a premium price that you pay, but there's lots of, you know, good things about it. You have somebody that cleans your place. For me, I have somebody that cleans my place 3 times a week and takes my laundry out and does my laundry for me. So it's very convenient for me. It's very, very helpful, very convenient. So some people just choose to do just a regular type of apartment that's furnished, you know, if you're a foreigner staying here. And then some people here that know they're in for the long term, they may just rent an apartment or a house and get their own furniture. You know, maybe if they have a partner here or something, they might do something like that. Construction still keeps going on here in Ho Chi Minh City, so that hasn't stopped because there's a construction site almost where, you know, an earshot of wherever you are. And for me, you know, we've got somebody putting up a small building just behind the building that I'm in right now, so we've got quite a bit of noise coming there during the daytime. Things still seem to be moving forward here business-wise in Vietnam. They are still working on trying to get this subway system, the first line anyways, open by next year, the end of 2021. And they've been sort of completing some projects around some of the stations, like landscaping and things like that. Is that big building near Bentan Market almost done? There's a lot of buildings around Bentan Market, so I don't know which one you're talking about. There's tons of developments happening around that area, and that's a big area because there's going to be a big MRT or subway stop there. So that's going to be really popular with people that want to have access in the future for that line. You know, obviously all those locations where there's going to be a metro stop are going to be very valuable, very popular. So there's a lot of development around that right now. And in District 2 as well, where the line is going out to. So there's lots of developments in District 2 as well, where the first line will end. But there's going to be several lines here, but it's going to take years. I mean, maybe 20, 30, they might have some more lines finished. I don't know what the plans are for the next lines, but that one. And they've been working on this for decades, this MRT system here, this subway and train system. It'll be above line as well. Hopefully by that time, then, if we have some vaccines available worldwide and they're proven that they're safe and as extremely effective, then I think you'll see, hopefully you'll have a chance to come here and see some of these great things. And hopefully Tokyo will have a chance to, put on the Olympics as well, because that's another thing that's coming up. So, but we have lots of time from now until then. But as far as, again, just wrapping up the travel situation here in the areas that I'm watching, which is particularly East Asia and Southeast Asia, I wouldn't hold your breath for any kind of personal type of travel right now. I mean, think about it for next year, next spring. But from now until the end of the year, I personally don't see it. I'm not an expert in health or pandemics or anything like that. But business-wise, I don't see it happening right now. But you can certainly, I would certainly start to think about planning trips for next spring, or even next fall would be even better. And I don't want to take away anything from any countries like Nepal that's trying to come back that, you go to some of those towns and, most of the people there rely on tourism. Somebody's asking about, are people being helped? Yeah, I mean, I don't know to how much extent, but people are being helped that are being affected, like, say, people that work in the tourism business that have lost jobs. Those people have gotten some help. I don't know how much. And then local people have been helping out as well. I'm thinking, it might be okay by next spring, but that's if a vaccine is developed and if it's rolled out, in your country in, a rapid pace or there are more and more of these drugs that are readily available that can, cut the people having to go to, the ICU. Down. So, I mean, that would be sort of the ideal situation where travel could open up again. But you might expect that you might have to have, if you can get a vaccine in your particular area, that you'll, of course, have to carry a card that says that you've been vaccinated. There might be some testing required as well, even if you have a vaccine. I don't know. So I would expect that travel is not going to be super smooth at first, and it might never be like it was. It might be like this is our next 9/11. So the travel that you thought, that you remembered when you could get to the airport 3 hours before and it would be fine for an international flight, maybe now it's going to be 4.5 hours. Like, we just don't know how everything's going to be rolled out in the future. So we'll see, but that will be our new normal. But I wouldn't expect to do any travel until next spring, next fall. So travel close to home and stay safe and stay away from crowds. I mean, I don't even go out a lot other than going out to film some things that I have ideas for video, and then I'm wearing a mask all the time because in Ho Chi Minh City, masks are mandatory, and if you're not wearing a mask in public, and if you're not wearing one, you can get a fine. And then it just doesn't look good for, especially for foreigners, not to comply with local laws or local, things that are going on. So I'm just doing things like that, you know, doing shopping in small stores and not even going into shopping malls, avoiding shopping malls right now, avoiding any sort of areas where the, you know, there's more contact with people. Even though all those people are still wearing a mask, I'm staying very, laying very low right now, and I hope you do the same thing. And that's it for now. So thank you so much. Thanks to everybody on Twitter and Periscope for watching as well. And I will check in again very, very soon and start talking more about next spring and next fall and travel inspiration.
The next station is Shinjuku. The doors on the left side will open. Please change here for the Chuo Line, the Saikyo Line, the Shonan Shinjuku Line, the Odakyu Line, the Keio Line, the Marunouchi Subway Line, the Shinjuku Subway Line, and the Oedo Subway Line.
Thanks so much for listening and being patient with me and the Far East Travels podcast. I really appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with me, you got some ideas for future shows, I would love to hear from you. You can send me an email, john@fareasttravels.com, or get in touch with me, send me a message through Instagram, which is always good, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram, or one of the Facebook pages, either the Far East Travels podcast Facebook page or the Far East Travels page. Would love to hear from you. You can help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. I know you've heard this before, and I know it probably won't be the last time you hear this either, but if you want to help others discover the podcast, you can write a review in the iTunes store. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. Just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your iTunes account, and then rate the podcast out of 5 stars, and then write a brief review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. Thanks. Thank you so much again. And wherever you are, please stay safe. Stay home. Stay away from crowds. And keep those travel dreams fueled. Thanks so much.